You're listening to the Body Confidence Podcast. Take a deep breath, because this could be the beginning of the rest of your life. Hey, I'm really excited about today's podcast episode because we have a special guest again. Her name is Brittany Hammond, and she's from Canada, but she's living in Paris right now. So that's super awesome. But she is actually sharing for the very first time her own personal struggles and story with body image and kind of her journey towards practicing body confidence. And we dig up some pretty cool things happen on this episode. So it's really fun and encouraging to hear someone like Brittany having these realizations even live during our call. And she is just such a joy and pleasure to speak with. And so I can't wait for you to hear her story. Let's dive right in.
I started this business right out of university. And this is actually my 4-year anniversary because I started in November of 2013.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So it has really evolved over the past 4 years. I guess to kind of like package it up, so I'm a filmmaker and a personal brand strategist. I'm also an actor and I coach actors as well. And I guess really the main thread in all of these different aspects is really being able to tell people's story and find the most, really identify what is someone's unique quality and really just leveraging it in their story.
Yeah. That's interesting. So in your line of work, how often does body image and like self-confidence come up in what you do for your clients? Or does it come up a lot?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like because I was filming a brand video last week for this particular client and they're not used to being on camera, and they were mm-hmm. like, I wish I could just hire someone because we're doing like a brand story video, and he kept saying, I wish I could just hire someone to be me.
Yeah.
Because I think I had mentioned before, like, just as an actor and as a dancer, body image was something huge in my life. And just in terms of like, I mean, there's so much pressure on people and like what the ideal body is. I know personally, like for me, I wanted to talk a little, because I haven't actually openly talked about this myself, mm-hmm. I guess publicly,
yeah.
But growing up, like, so I was a dancer for a number of years, and I got my menstrual cycle, like, I think I was like borderline 12, 13, so I was very young, and I guess essentially went through puberty very young, and so I grew up thinking, like, that I was bigger than all my friends. Mm-hmm. And that definitely affected me, because then, when I was looking for an agent in Toronto, like, I didn't think that I was skinny enough to really go out there and fully pursue film. Like, I was always self-conscious. And what's interesting in that is because I'm thinking of a memory, like when I was in elementary school and this pair of jeans that I had. And I remember someone saying to me, like, they made some comment about my body and it always stuck with me. But the funny thing in my life is that I went through that one growth spurt, but then I never, like, I can still fit into clothes from high school.
Yeah.
My shorts, not all of my jeans, but from a very young age, like, I had this perception that I was like bigger. But then as I grew older, I always just stayed the same. So it's like, well, my 12-year-old me might have been bigger, but like my 28-year-old me is like pretty small.
Right. And there actually is a lot written about the timing of your puberty and when, especially when girls go through puberty, if it's late or early, that has a huge impact on their body confidence throughout the rest of their life. So it's not uncommon that if you change more quickly or at a slower pace than everyone else, because when you're in that adolescence, you are very like, you compare yourself to your friend group and to other people to make sure that, you fit in.
So if the timing is off either way, you feel like an outsider. And it's interesting that, yeah, now you might not be, you're not bigger than other people, but because you thought that way during such a transformational time in your life, those thoughts and those beliefs are still in your mind.
And it's so interesting. I feel like I'm like having this realization as we're speaking, because you know, you sent me a few questions over and I was thinking like how, because I've never actually openly spoke about this before. And as I was going through it, and as you're saying this, I'm like, wow, like I just realized like this big block I had in my, I think they actually complimented me, but I was so self-conscious of my body that I always interpreted it as like, they implied that I was like curvy. I've always had a complex over this.
Well, and that's interesting too, because that's another point of distinction in your body confidence journey, is that most people who have struggled with or are struggling with feeling good about their body image and things like that, they have a moment in their life that they can think back to. And it's usually, you know, around that age where you've noticed, you've noticed your body, you've noticed how it's different from other people's, and then someone said something. And whether it was a doctor or your mom or a teacher, you know, someone in your life that you maybe kind of look up to, it's like most people can pick out that moment and say, yep, that's what always goes through my mind again when I'm having, those types of feelings. It's like you revert back to how you felt in that moment, and that wave just kind of comes over you again. If you think about it and dissect it a little bit, you can kind of let that go, but it's hard. I mean, I remember when I was young, I had really, really bad skin, and I struggled with acne a lot, and I was so self-conscious about it, like terribly, terribly self-conscious. I just wanted to like hide in my room some days because, you know, it seemed like nobody else had acne and I was the only one. And you know, my brother made a comment about it when his friends were over, and I was just like mortified. I was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. And that's what it was. That's what stuck with me for years, until I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter. Like, so what if he said that? And I kind of like tried to work through it and face those feelings head on rather than internalize them. And I mean, it's hard, but
yeah,
it's very, very common to have like a moment that you can point to and say, yep, that's when it all started.
I do actually have a moment. I tried to reconcile with it. It was around the same age, like 12, 13. And I was out in my backyard in my bathing suit at the pool. And my sister's boyfriend at the time, for some reason, told me, like my 13-year-old me, that I had thunder thighs. And I always stuck with me. And I even talked to my sister about it, like probably over the years, but I even remember confronting, his name was Jay, I remember confronting him like years later, and I'm like, why the frig did you tell me that?
Yeah.
And like, even though he apologized, like that still sticks with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, how do you, when someone else defines you and like you don't know who you are yet, mm-hmm. like it really can be damaging, because all you can do is like compare to other people. And, you know, also I grew up with really bad skin too. And I'm wondering now as well if it's because I hit puberty so young, because I was like the first one in my school to start having skin issues. And I was like severely bullied for that, like for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
People are so mean.
I know. Well, and that's the other thing that can help, is when you realize like, okay, so how old was Jay when he said that?
I think he was 5 years older.
So maybe like 17.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was a high school boy. Yeah. And there's the only thing more insecure than a high school girl is a high school boy, because there's this expectation of them to be this like cool, strong, masculine guy who nothing bothers them and whatever. So the only way for them to deal with that is to project their own insecurities onto other people. Mm-hmm. So that's what they do. And when you can kind of try to rationally think through, like, okay, he's at the pool with his girlfriend trying to look cool and whatever, maybe he's insecure about the way he looks. And, you know, he probably just didn't want the attention to be on him. So he, you know, selfishly put it on you. So it when you think about it that way, that it's like people all have insecurities and they all are immature in their own way. And it usually has nothing to do with you and everything to do with the person who's saying that.
Yeah. I never thought of it that way. I think even when I confronted him, like, I don't even think he remembered or like knew what to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, and I'm wondering, like, because I mean, you know, just speaking like frankly here,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure every woman can like experience this. Like, you have one part of your body that you're just like, oh, like, you know, no matter how hard I try, like, I can't like get rid of this fat or this cellulite or, like, you know, whatever it be. And for me, it always has been my lower body. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, because I've gotten that reflection like a few times in my life, like, it's, you know, you do go back to those moments and you're like, oh, okay, this affirms like what, you know, XYZ person said.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like this continual, you know, struggle. And I mean, obviously at one point in life, you kind of have to, even if like you move on and you have success and you're happy and like, you know, whatever, you still have those thoughts in the back of your head. You know, if you're trying on clothes in a change room, or if you're at a fitness class and you just glance over in the mirror, or if you're filming something, I mean, you still mm-hmm. have those thoughts that kind of like loom in the back.
Yeah. And especially, like you said, no matter how successful you become or what you achieve or what your body actually ends up looking like, because I mean, even when things, let's say if you did have thinner legs and, or you did lose weight in your lower part of your body, like, you would still have those thoughts mm-hmm. because the thoughts that you have about your body are not always like linked to what your body actually looks like. Because, right. I mean, there are celebrities who are, by all definitions, like the way that everyone else wants to look, and they have insecurities too. It is kind of too bad that even when you do accomplish a lot of really cool things, you can still second guess yourself and not have you feel like you, it's like a limitation on your accomplishments.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're feeling proud and you're feeling accomplished, but then it's like, yes, but I still have thunder thighs.
Yeah.
You know, like, that kind of creeps back in and sinks back in, and it kind of ruins it.
It definitely is still present. Like, I definitely think about these things still. I mean, I was at a fitness class today, and same thing. I'm like looking in the mirror and like looking at my legs, and I'm just like, oh, like,
so, yeah.
You know,
and especially with something like that, like with your legs, okay, like, think about how important your legs are in like your everyday life.
Yeah.
Like, think of how many things they do for you every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you need them to be the size that they are, apparently, because if that's how they've been your whole life, then that's how they're supposed to be. And I'm the same type of way, where I have like a bigger lower half than the upper half. And I struggled with, you know, I want my legs to be thinner because the rest of my body seems to be thin and my legs just don't match. Like, it's like, yes. they're too big for the rest of my body. Like, my upper is small and my lower is big. When I'm at the gym or when I'm doing something, I just try to embrace, okay, I have bigger legs, so I'm going to go squat and see how much weight my legs can squat. Because I have bigger legs, so I'm going to use that as a positive and try to like double down on that. Because I mean, my arms are very weak. I cannot, like, I can do maybe one push-up, but that's it.
Yeah.
But my legs are strong. So, yeah. So I was like, well, instead of like resenting my legs for being big and strong, why don't I celebrate the fact that my legs are big and strong? And it's going to be fine because my legs carry me around all day. And, you know, apparently that's the way that I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
The big part of it is just like being aware of when those thoughts start, so that you can be like, nope, remember, you like the way that your legs are because that means you're strong and that means you can do cool things like lift a lot of weight.
That also, like, even as you say that, because I have been like very active my whole life. I ran my first marathon when I was 16. So just imagine how much, like, you know, the strength in my legs.
Yeah.
You know, when you're so athletic, so young, and you've built these muscles and then you stop working out, that muscle then turns to fat. And that was something that the older I got and the less regularly I exercised and worked out, mm-hmm. I couldn't keep off the weight. And I mean, like I said, I've always been like, you know, more or less pretty fit. I felt that kind of like weight gain, and I'm having to like, you know, say to myself, like, it's okay. I can get back to my old body. I can, it doesn't mean I'm worth less. I can still love myself and love my body and know that. That was a little traumatizing in the past year, realizing that, you know, I couldn't just like eat less for a few days and then like have like a flat stomach again.
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, what worked when you were younger doesn't work anymore. And the older you get as a woman, like the more this stuff just kind of deteriorates and you really do have to take care of yourself and keep those muscles firm. And it's kind of a scary feeling when you realize that you don't have that control over your body in a sense. And that's kind of something I've been working towards, I would say the past like 4 months, is just really getting back into working out. Because I do want to feel good in my body and I don't want to have all this like negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. So,
well, when you're working out, do you work out so that you'll lose weight?
I wouldn't say so much like losing weight. If I was to lose weight, it would be maybe like 5 pounds or something, but it's more to just retone up those muscles because, like I have like dancer legs, like they're super muscular. Well, they were before, but, they still kind of like, they're still the same size, but they don't have that definition.
The reason I ask about your intention for exercise is because whenever I get out of practice of running, which has been a lot lately. Every time I start running again, I kind of get down on myself because it's like, oh, you know, I used to be able to run so much and now I don't. But instead of, you know, thinking like, you know, you used to have this muscle tone and now you don't, your muscles have memory. So the fact that you had that muscle tone at one point in your life means it's going to be easier for you to get it back than someone who has never had that muscle tone. So that's good. But also just kind of like making it a little mini challenge for yourself to be like, hey, you know, I want to be able to lift this much again or do this type of exercise again. And I think that I can still get there. So kind of reframing it to not results oriented, but like action oriented. Like I want to be able to lift this much weight or I want to be able to run this far. Because if you can do those things, the physical stuff will probably come along with it. But also, I mean, what's the point of having, you know, really defined legs, muscles in your legs?
You know what? I think for me, like when I most feel good and like recognize myself is like when I am fit. And so I kind of like always aspire, you know, I always want to get back to that state because that's when I feel like me. So like, if you have like a random like weight gain or like something, like it's like, you don't feel like you're yourself anymore.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. That happened to me when I first got my first job out of college and I wasn't very active anymore. I was just sitting at a desk all day pretty much. And I was also going through a breakup, so I put on, I don't know how much weight I put on, but it was to a point where like my clothes weren't fitting me the way they used to, and I had to get rid of some clothes because they just did not fit me anymore. And I kind of started I started feeling really bad because I was like, you know, I've always been this thin girl and now I'm not. So like, what's going on? Like I had like a little mini identity crisis because it's like, well, this isn't who I've always been this way. And now I'm not this way. So like, what's going on? Who am I if I'm not you know, the skinny, pretty girl that I was.
Yeah.
And I knew that I didn't want to go through like a rigorous diet and exercise type deal. Mm-hmm. So what I did instead was there were a few eating habits that I knew that I could get better about, like, you know, so I was like, okay, well, that's clearly not healthy to be eating an entire frozen pizza for dinner every night, Rebecca. So maybe stop doing that. Yeah. And I just kind of reframed my mindset to be like, you know what, maybe, I was like, maybe this is just another phase of your body changing. Because yeah, you're a little less active than before and you're eating a little bit more, so you can stop doing that. But maybe this is the next phase of your body. And so how would you feel if that was the next phase of your body? Like, is that really the worst thing that could happen to you as a person? And I'm like, well, no, it's not, because I can still do all the things that I want to do. I can still do my job well. So I just kind of started to tell myself that even if this was how I was going to look for the rest of my life, that would be okay. And what ended up happening was I started finding things that made me happy, things to do that made me happy, hanging out with people who made me happy. And I had a couple different, you know, I would exercise a couple times a week, maybe, you know, I introduced a little more exercise, a little bit of healthier eating, but a lot of just doing things that I enjoyed. And I don't know how it happened, but I went back to the weight that I used to be.
Wow.
I don't know how it happened, but it was just, I felt better about myself and I accepted everything that was happening. And I was like, you know, if I'm going to be a curvier woman than I was when I was, you know, 19. Okay. You know, that's, I can deal with that. But so I know how that feels to kind of be like, have this, because your identity is so wrapped in what you look like and your body type.
It's so interesting as well, because I was seeing my osteopath when I was back in Toronto this spring, and I had told them about the weight gain, and they said, and I've been with this osteopath for like a decade, so they know my body, and you know, they said, like, well, have you gone through some changes in your life? Because he's like, I have a feeling that this is just like an emotional weight gain, and I have a feeling that's why I gained this weight. And just to give you, to, you know, like full transparency, when I say weight gain, it's probably between like 5 and 10 pounds that I gained. But yeah, so I'm wondering if it's emotional and kind of like what you were just explaining. I feel like, because I have been super, super mean to myself, I guess I'm realizing now, like, I have to come back to like that place of like self-love and acceptance, because being mean to myself and like shaming myself for gaining weight is not going to help me lose weight and not going to motivate me to want to work out, because I feel like every woman can resonate with this, but like when you feel fat and you're working out, is that not just like the worst feeling in the world? It's like when you're feeling it and you're saying that into your head while you're trying to work out, it's like so counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really, like, keep feeding yourself. Like, I'm super into affirmations and like mantras and meditation right now. So I'm just really almost like reprogramming my brain, and kind of you saying that story is like the confirmation to me that like I need to do the same thing to kind of like heal that, I guess, that story that like I've been telling myself all these years. I'm also like really getting into like being authentic. And so talking about these types of things that might seem off brand from a distance, like it's not really, because kind of like my core message is about just like loving and accepting and owning who you are.
Hey, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. It is seriously such an honor for you to throw in your earbuds and listen to me and some awesome women talk about body image and body confidence. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you did enjoy it, I would love it if you went over to iTunes on the little purple podcast app on your phone and left a rating on this podcast, because the more ratings we have on the podcast, the more other people can discover it and start their own body confidence journey. So just leave a rating. And if you send me a screenshot of the rating, I will send you a special gift in the mail. It is super awesome and podcast related. So send me a screenshot of the review that you send, or just the fact that you did a review. I guess I don't need to read it. And I will send you a special gift. You can send it to me, just like direct message me on Instagram or give me an email, hello@rebeccabiggie.com. I would love to hear from you, and I would love to send you this awesome free gift. Thanks so much again, and have a wonderful day.